Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And we have with us this morning, you know, one of my favorite people, Deacon Thomas Farr. Bless the Lord. Good morning, man of God. How are you today?
Praise the Lord. So how are you?
I am blessed, sir. I am truly blessed. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. It's good to have you on with us today. So praise be unto God. Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. I just want to make sure the sound is good, because we're doing, simulcasting. It's just Christian Men's Talk this morning.
Amen. Awesome. 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 So, y'all, this is the first time that we're doing this like this, and we definitely want all of you to enjoy this new arrangement we got here today. Enjoy this. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. So listen, our co-host, my co-host today, Minister Tabitha Jones, is not with us this morning. She's over at the church taking care of some very important matters for us today. So we still want to give her a great big shout out, a great big shout out. She and her husband, Mark, they are there today. And they send their love. She might call in, you know, to say good morning to us, but you know, they can make it fine. If not, praise be unto God. So good morning to Tamika Shelton, to her mother Joyce. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. God bless you, woman of God. To Dorn, Prophetess Dorn, Prophet Michael and his wife, son Songbird Crawford. To Isaiah in Chicago, to Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Joyce in New York. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I tell you, we appreciate each and every one of you joining us on this morning. And we'd love to acknowledge all of our listeners, because we know that you could be doing anything else on a Saturday morning, but we appreciate the time that you come and share with us on the morning. Deacon Farr, is there something you'd like to say before we pray this morning?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Just good to hear you. And I called in because Elder Mark, he's my co-host on Friday morning. So that couple's committed. So I figured we work together here this morning.
Oh, my goodness. I am tickled pink. I am tickled pink. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Well, Deacon, if you don't mind, then let me ask you if you would do the opening prayer this morning. And let me say good morning to Issues Christian Men Talk. Good morning. Y'all know, next to Heart, Issues Christian Men Talk is my favorite show.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. For those who don't know, it was Apostle Banks who got me connected with the radio. We started, she brought me in and on Heart to Heart for a while, and then I was able to grow, and she sent me out. And so we've been doing it for about 5 years now. But I do appreciate you, because you did connect me with the Blog Talk and some other folks, so we were able to go and minister and we've been blessed by it, and brothers have been blessed by it. So we thank you.
Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Yes, God be the glory. Well, let us pray. Father, we just say thank you this morning, God. We thank you, God, for all that you've done and what you are doing, Lord. Father, today we want to lift up families, husbands, wives, children, relationships, just all those, oh God, in the body of Christ, oh God. Father, there's a need out here, oh God, amongst your people, God. So we ask today, oh God, that you would take your hand and touch every situation. You would heal every sickness, emotional, physical, financial, the things that people are struggling with in the body of Christ today, God. So we ask, God, that you would send a word, send a message, send a word of encouragement, God. Father, continue, God, to use us as your body, oh God, to strengthen one another, oh God, to come alongside one another and keep us held up, oh God, and keep us faithful. Holy Spirit, touch us and strengthen us. Father, we want to live our lives to glorify you and to advance your kingdom. So we say thank you today. And Father, we want to pray for those who are sick and shut in, God, for those who woke up in a hospital bed this morning, oh God, for their family members who sit by the hospital bedside. We pray for their encouragement, that even in the midst, oh God, that knowing that you are in charge and your will be done. So we pray for the healing, God. We pray for strength today. Continue to watch over us and bless us, oh God. Father, I thank you for Apostle Banks and the new vision. I thank you for my pastor, Pastor George Sharps, and Jesus Lives Ministry, and all those who labor behind the scenes and in the front of the scenes, oh God. So, Father, continue to use us, continue to bless us, and please watch over your church worldwide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. So, listen, beloved, so this morning we are going to be talking about the spiritual gift of mercy, mercy showing. We're going to talk about that and some of the characteristics that we find in people, and you'll be able to notice this very easily, and it will help you as you're dealing with relationships, as you're dealing with ministering to others, helping you to understand the why that some people respond in the manner that they do. This is going to help you a lot. And the time permits you, I've got a number one of the gifts, but this particular one hit me so hard yesterday because of a conversation that I had with someone, and I was like, my Lord, my goodness, you know, how far do we go with the gift of mercy? And knowing, oh, glory to God, knowing that every day God extends grace and mercy to us every single day. And when I thought about when it comes to us extending mercy, are people taking advantage of us? And then, which brings us to the place, are we also taking advantage of the mercy that God extends to us to help us to still be in a place of a lack of accountability, a lack of striving to please God just because we know that he will forgive us, you know, upon the asking? So that's where we're going to, where we're going with our topic this morning. Also, let me give credit where credit is due, churchgrowth.org, churchgrowth.org. Dr. Larry Gilbert, he is the one that puts out all of their spiritual gifts information. I use the information from the spiritual gift assessment. We have people taking the gift assessment on our website. It helps me in my mentoring with folks, counseling. It helps me a lot. It helps me, you know, especially when I'm dealing with couples and some of the disagreements that they have, where I can notice and identify the gifts that are at work. And so it helps us to understand the different manner in which we should approach certain things, certain concerns and issues. So this morning we're going to deal with the gift of mercy, the gift of mercy. So people with this gift, they're the comforters that enter into the grief or the happiness of others, and they have the ability to show empathy. Now, the empathy goes beyond sympathy. With sympathy, we feel for others, but empathy, we feel with others. We feel with others. Those that are empathizers, they emotionally go through what a victim goes through. Have you ever listened to someone and they're telling you their pain or even their joy about something, and you are just as joyful as they are? You can feel what they're feeling. You're excited for them. And if there's someone that's telling you about their pain, sickness, whatever the case may be, you begin to feel, and that's important. They feel, okay? They don't. This is not a thought. They feel what it is that you're going through. They feel your suffering. They feel your disappointment. They feel the need that you have there. They deal with people and minister to people who have needs that most people are very uncomfortable dealing with. They minister to the sick, to the poor, to the mentally challenged, to prisoners, to blind people, to the aged people, to the homeless. You know, the list goes on. And a lot of people are very uncomfortable in dealing with people, you know, in these groups and so forth. But they deal with these people, and they consider it an honor to deal with them. It's a joy in their heart to be able to help folks like this. And so that is a sign. As I'm talking, and I'm sure you are already picturing some mercy showers that you know in your life. What do you say to this, Deacon Farr?
Amen. Yeah, I agree. And that mercy, you see that hint of empathy. It's also, to me, I see it as compassion. We have compassion for others in this circumstance. And that's where, you know, when you said it's mercy would be more of an action. How are we going to try and address and reach out to folks? You talked about those areas of service ministry, those reaching out to the homeless and sick and all those things. That gift, you got to have a gift for it. Because like you say, when we talk about the gifts that God gives us, and we all have different gifts, that we feel comfortable in the uncomfortable. Because, you know, folk, everybody can't go visit the sick. Everybody can't go visit a cancer patient, the AIDS patient. You know, everybody can't go out into the streets to service and you try to minister to the homeless who are sleeping on the street every day. You can't talk them into going to a shelter, but to be able to go alongside, minister to them, meet a need, and have that compassion. And that's why, you know, when you say about the gift, it's really a gift, because you're willing to give up yourself where others don't have it. But we have to, and also I want to say this, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we cannot hold other people, you know, try to look down on other people because they don't want to go. I learned that a long time ago in ministry and church. Everybody is not going to participate in everything, and we have to understand that. That comes to our own maturity. Just because you have a passion for something, understand God made us all different, and every part of the body is different. It has a reason and a purpose. And some people get upset at other Christians because they don't want to go out and do certain things. But to get back on mercy, it's a gift. It's something that God puts inside of us for whatever reason, because a lot of it, I'll say for myself, the things I've been through, I have mercy when I see someone who's in the midst of going through the things that God has brought me out of. When you talk about drugs, alcohol, relationship problems, I see where they are, and I was there. And that's what some of us also get that gift of mercy. We have it for certain areas because we know what God can do in the lives to change things. So now God uses us, and he has that gift of mercy for those specific areas to minister to someone. And that's what we got to remember what it's all about. It's to minister to folk, to bring them closer to God, to compel them that, yes, God is real. Jesus died for your sins, but yet he can bring you out because he's done it before. You know what I mean? What do you say, Apostle?
Mm-hmm. Amen. I totally, totally agree with you. And when you were speaking, it also made me remember, now, when you spoke about the gift, there are people that are gifted with the gift of mercy. That is your primary gift. I want you to know all of us have, every one of the spiritual gifts, all of us have all of the spiritual gifts in us, okay? But you have a primary gift, a secondary gift. That's the area that you totally focus in on. And, you know, I don't care who you are. There's a time where you will show mercy to somebody because that is in you, because it's part of what the Holy Spirit is that's in you. It's part of Jesus, and his spirit lives within us. So we all have some of it, but the primary gift, those that have this primary gift, this is where you're going to see them operate the absolute most. And I loved it when Deacon Farr said, you know, that there will be, like he knew about the drugs and all of the other things that he mentioned, you know, because he knows what God delivered him from, what God saved him from. So when he sees the homeless, when he sees a drug addict, whatever the case may be, you know, his heart goes out to them. His heart goes out to him. You can be saved because God saved me. God saved me. You can be saved. You know, the same thing with me, with women that have been, you know, molested, going through a horrible divorce and so forth and so on. My heart goes out to these women and men, you know, because I understand the anxiety. I understand the damnation that came along with it. I understand, you know, the fear that is attached to it. And I have mercy. And God, you know, saved me. He saved me from drowning, from committing suicide behind those types of things. You know, so not only do you have the gift within you, there are things that each one of us have walked through that gives us such an understanding of the love of God and what he has done for us. And in that case, it helps us to empathize with someone who's going through the same thing. It helps us to empathize. And I tell you, the love of God is just beyond anything that we could describe. It is beyond anything that we could describe. So I am so grateful for what God has done for us. And so let's go back and deal with the mercy showers. They are generally not found teaching Sunday school. This generally not teaching Sunday school, since their personality is one normally of a soft-spoken love. It would hurt them too much if they also had to scold somebody or push somebody to get whatever job it is that they're doing to get a job done. People love mercy showers because of their love, and they receive the love, you know, from them. So this person is not a person that could head up. And this is when mercy is their primary gift. Remember I said all of us have some mercy in us. But when it's your primary gift, this person is normally not the one that you want to make the leader of a particular group, because they would have trouble reprimanding someone or rebuking someone. They would have trouble telling someone, you know, that you're not, you know, this constant being late every single time we get together is not acceptable. They would never say that to them because it's something that would hurt somebody's feelings, and they do not relish in hurting people's feelings. Mercy showers, they want to be I'm right with people that always want to show love. They never, ever want discord. They do not like confrontation and so forth. And so this is an area where people take advantage of that fact as well. People think that mercy showers are weak or they're compromisers, but they normally have extremely strong beliefs and principles. And they have the strong belief, they have the principle of God, but they just don't like to hurt anyone's feelings, so they don't express themselves a lot. They don't express themselves a lot. They're easygoing, but people have taken advantage of this. They have taken advantage of this. What do you say, Apostle Mark, what did you say about this? Hello? Okay. I hope I didn't. Let me see here. I don't know. Deacon Farr, are you on mute?
Great, I'm here.
Okay, all righty. Oh, so did you hear my question to you a minute ago?
Oh, okay. You said apostle. Oh, yeah, me. Oh, I'm here. Okay, do me off. I thought you went to somebody else. Yes. Glory to God. Yes, you are correct. You know, sometimes people who have a gift of mercy, you know, that's what it is. They, you know, God moves them to serve. God moves them to reach the people. And sometimes, you know, they look forward in what God has called them to do. They're not looking behind them or to the left or to the right to see who's with them. And that's where all of our gifts really, because when God gives us a gift and gives us a passion, we move forward to fulfill that thing. We have a passion to do it. We have mercy. We want to reach. We want to make a difference. And even in the mercy and the forgiveness, you know, again, it's something we want to minister. It's like love, you know, in our lives. We make it. We move forward in it. And this is what we do. This is who we are. Just as Christ did it when he reached out to those around him. You know, I'm thinking of a scripture. Jesus was with the blind men on the side of the road. He was with the crowd. They were walking through, and the two blind guys were calling out to him. You know, Jesus, son of David, if I remember correctly. And he stopped everything. Because the crowd and the people around him wanted to shut him down. Shut him down. You know, this is Jesus. Stop screaming out his name. We got protocol. We got things. We got some place to be. But yet, in his mercy, he stopped and he healed them. I mean, I think it's in Matthew. I'm not good on my memory because I'm older now, but I believe it's in Matthew. And that's an example of the mercy of what God can do in the midst of all that's going on to stop. And reach those two blind, and that's what we—that's what a lot of us do. When you have that gift within the body of Christ, you can stop. And I'm gonna take a minute with this person. I see something, mm-hmm. and I'll stop and take a minute to pray, to try and minister, to try and something. You know, I've seen it a lot. You know, when folk are out and about, you know, especially in this season, but even you know when nobody's really thinking about holidays. There's something that God stirs up on you, and you see somebody on the street, you see a circumstance that you can make a difference. You know, there used to be a campaign about acts of love, you know, paying groceries for the person behind you, or those little things.
Right.
You know, so it manifests its way a lot in our lives, but the person who has that gift, you know, God is always tapping them on the shoulder. You know, you could do this, that. Here's your opportunity. You know, and that's where, as having the compassion and want to stop the flow and just reach that one person. Great example.
Amen. So very, very true. And I would like to say to all of the leaders, you know, the pastors and apostles and prophets, anyone that leads a church, this is something that is, okay, thank you, Heavenly Father. Okay, this is something that we all must be mindful of. When Deacon Farr mentioned the fact that Jesus, no matter how busy he was in his travels or wherever the case may be, the mercy that he had, the compassion that he had for others, that he would stop what he's doing to heal the sick. He would stop what he's doing because it was important. He had the compassion, you know, to take care of others. And so many times as leaders, we are so busy about the agenda that we have set for the Sunday morning service. Praise be unto God. We know that at this time we're opening in prayer. We're going to read the scripture. We're going to sing our praise and worship songs. We're going to collect the offering. We're going to introduce the speaker. We're going to have the altar call, and we're going to open the doors of the church, which is the doors of the church are never closed, but praise be unto God. And we're going to do those things, and that's the order we have for today. I have literally seen some pastors that not only have that order that it runs for the day, at 11 o'clock, we do the greeting message. At 11:02, we do the prayer. At 11:07, we we did the prayer out of scripture and so forth. I mean, I've seen them, and I'm not lying to you, y'all. I have seen it where minute by minute it is planned out. Well, praise be unto God. When do we allow the Holy Spirit to move as he so sees fit? When do we, in the midst of our agenda, look out over the audience and see that there's somebody that is in need, and they can't wait for us to get to the end of all of the pleasantries and the this, that, and the others that we go through. But they need a touch from God, and they need it right now, because if they don't get it, this will destroy their lives. Their life depends on us. When do we have the sense to stop and say, my agenda is not important? It's what does God want us to do in this moment? When do we stop? You know, and giving and showing the mercy of God. Where we are located in the shopping center, recently there has been a homeless man that is out there. He's out there. He's not out there every day. But he sleeps out there on Saturday nights, I guess, or maybe he even comes early Sunday morning. I don't know. But he is out there. Now, he's been invited into the church. People have stopped and got him food or whatever the case may be to feed him. Somebody gave a blanket that they had in their car and gave it to him. And there will be people that will walk right by and say, why doesn't he go to a shelter? And you know, it's okay for that person to say that. Why doesn't he go to a shelter? The people with the different gifts are going to respond to this man in a different manner. The person that said, why doesn't he go to a shelter, they may be the very ones that will go and look up a shelter and give him the information. They're going to be those that take care of the needs that they can take care of right then and there on the spot. You know, so there's a difference with those that have the gift of mercy and the rest of the people that can show mercy. There is a difference. And so we have to be mindful of that. And I'm telling you, if you look around, let me give you a quick example. How about you have the mother and and/or a wife, the mother and/or a wife, because we can see this a lot easier with women than we see with men. But men have this gift of mercy. But let me put it with the mother and/or a wife. You've got a child that, and this child is not a baby. I'm talking about a teenager. At least a teenager. But this gift, what I'm about to say, started when they were children. So here you have the mercy-giving person, the one filled with compassion. No matter what wrong that child does or the husband does, they have so much compassion and so much mercy. They are extremely quick to forgive over and over and over again. And the son keeps doing the same tragic thing, stealing money from mama, telling mama lies, not obeying the house rules. And mama, that's all right, baby, come on. Look, I know you didn't mean to do it. You know, it's okay. We'll get through this. Where there has been the affairs, you know, the mercy person, I didn't mean for you to be hurting at that time. What did I do? You know, can I do something to make it okay for you? And the person is cheating on you, but you want to do everything you can to make them feel very comfortable and not holding them accountable. You know, and in both cases, we're not holding the son or the husband accountable because we don't want to hurt their feelings. We want them to be comfortable. We want them to know that they are loved. And so we extend this mercy far beyond it's beyond helping them. That you understand is not helping them to the degree that they need to be helped. We definitely need to show mercy. But then do you see where the son and or the husband in this particular incident can take advantage of the situation? They can take advantage of the situation. Most people that are extremely heavy on mercy and compassion, they have a problem with correcting problems. They have a problem with correcting problems. Thank God that the body of Christ isn't filled all the way across the board with everyone gifted with the gift of mercy. We would never, ever hold anybody accountable. God has called us into people's lives to help them to repent and to change and to turn away from their ways. But if we are afraid of offending, if we are afraid of hurting their feelings, if we are afraid that they're going to get mad at us, if we're afraid of the confrontation, beloved, how are we ever going to have them hold themselves accountable with us and with God? It's because it's the God in us that they're being accountable to. You know, God takes us just the way we are. Thank God for his compassion and his mercy on us. He takes us just the way we are. But then the prophetic side of him is expecting us to change. There's a right and the wrong. The gift of teaching, his word teaches us the word so that we will know the principles of the word, what it is we're supposed to do, and so forth and so on. You know, the evangelistic part of the Holy Spirit is what came out into the wilderness and got us and drew us in. The exalter, you know, exalting you, you know, cheering you on, you can do this, and so forth and so on. All of the gifts are beginning to work together to bring you to that place of making a great decision about salvation, making a great decision that, you know, I do need to change. I do need the Holy Spirit. I do need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But mercy showers, compassion people, can be so full of compassion that they are not holding you to that place. And God wants us to be that. We are to show mercy, but we need to balance it out, definitely. We have a caller, praise God, that would like to speak. Good morning, beloved. Your number, your last four digits are 1264. Good morning to you.
God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. I'm glad to be in the honor of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm enjoying the word this morning. I thank God for how God is using you and the words that have been going forth and everything. I'm a first-time caller. And I just thank God, and I would just like prayer today. Amen. For my goddaughter, I wake up and teach you. She's been living lawlessly and came against me, but I'm leaving God to turn that thing around. And I just like God to have prayer for me, how the way the Lord would lead you. And thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless you this morning.
Amen. Amen.
My goddaughter's name is Shamika Alexander.
Shamika?
Okay. Yes. My name is Alexander. Brother Coleman, and my name is Brother Coleman. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, Brother Coleman. All righty,
yes,
sir. And if you don't mind, I didn't get it all. What is the need of your granddaughter, goddaughter?
I'm believing God for reconciliation, God to deal with her heart and her mind and get away from the people
mm-hmm.
that misleading her and for her just to fall.
Mm-hmm.
That my God will come back to godly counsel, that God will arrest her and, you know, bring her back and deliver her.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And your particular need, beloved?
How the way the Lord will lead you. I was really calling in for her. I was interceding, but if God leads you to pray, to pray for me, I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let us go ahead and let us offer prayer for our brother and his goddaughter. And see, here is one of those times, you know, where you have to stop what it is that you're planning and what does God have planned for us for today.
Yes.
So I'm asking all of you all that are on this line, please be praying with us. Deacon Thomas, far as I will begin to pray. And if the Lord gives you anything to pray for our brother and his goddaughter, I will turn it over to you as well. You know, if he gives you something, please know that you're open here, and I welcome you, you know, to share in this as well. Amen. Let us go ahead and go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord God, for this truly is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Lord, I thank you for leading Brother Coleman, Lord God, to this line on this day. You had a purpose in mind, Father God, that it was no mistake, it was no error, Father, that he called in to this place this day on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God, he came with a matter on his heart, and that would be his goddaughter, Shamika Alexander. Father God,
yes,
you know everything about her. You know her needs. You know her concerns. You know where she is and what she is doing, even at this very moment, oh God.
Yes.
And I'm asking you to dispatch angels, oh Lord, on her behalf, Father God. Father, those that will stand in the gateway, those that will stand in the doorway of her heart, those, oh Lord God, that will bring her to the place, oh God, where she will drop to her knees, Lord God, and say, what must I do to be reconciled with my Father? What must I do, Lord God, to come back into your good graces, Lord God? Father, we're asking, oh God, we're standing even in the gap right now, asking for forgiveness, Lord God, for her sins, oh God, everything that she says, Lord God. Father, the mercy that we're speaking about today, we're thankful that you extend this mercy, you extend this grace every single day, Lord God. I ask for the spirit of discernment, oh God, to flood her womb and her heart, oh Father, and open up her eyes, Lord God, that she is able to see, Lord God, the hand of man in her life, Lord God, the people that mean her no good, Lord God. Father, let her get to that place, Lord God, where she will recognize, oh God. I'm asking you still, Lord God, to keep her shielded and protected, Father, that she will not be hurt beyond the place of being able to forgive, Father, that she will forgive and had disillusioned her, Lord God. Father, for the deceiver had come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And he has been mercy on us, oh God. He has no mercy whatsoever. But Lord God, that you will dispatch not just angels, but people like the Godfather, Lord God. Let the woman, the women, Lord God, that are rooted and grounded in your word, Lord God, cover her, go to her, Lord God. Be a teacher to her, a mentor to her, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, let, Lord God, those people that you have assigned to her, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, let show up on time, Father, in the name of Jesus. Not a day late, not a moment late, oh God, but right on time, oh Father God. Father, that which you started in the Lord God, let it be completed, oh God. So you are the author and the finisher of her faith, oh Lord God. So Lord God, I thank you that no weapon formed against this young woman shall prosper, oh God. I thank you that she will be reconciled to you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that she will be reconciled to the spirit-filled folks in her family, Lord God.
Yes.
The body of Christ, oh Lord God.
Yes.
I thank you that she will recognize her worth in you, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, the low self esteem, Lord God. Oh, God, being manipulated, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, let her know, let her know, let her know that she is loved by you, Lord God.
Yes.
And she doesn't have to go out of her way to prove herself to man, Lord God, but to prove herself to you, Lord God. Father, I'm thanking you right now that even in her body, Lord God, if there's any sick in her body, oh God, Father, heal, deliver, and set her free, Father, in the name of Jesus. That you will testify about the goodness of the Lord. You will testify, Lord God, about those who stood in the gap for her. She will step for her. She will tell, Lord God, somebody else, that God did it for me, he can do it for you, Lord God. Let her life not be in vain, Father. And I thank you for victory in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the spirit of turnaround. That's what I want to call it today. A turnaround, Lord God. Let there be a turnaround, oh Father.
Yes.
That she turns, oh God, and sees the goodness of the Lord. Father, for this we say thank you and amen. Deacon Barr, bless your heart. I'm asking you, sir, would you please pray for Brother Alan, Coleman. Please pray for him. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Brother Coleman, we're welcome, brother. Thank you for calling. Thank you, God, you know, get the opportunity for our lives to touch the cross in this moment. So, Father, today I just want to pray for you, brother. I want to pray that you, oh God, that your increase, that your strength, oh God, will be increased, that you would stand, oh God, that you would be a light in the darkness, God, that you be a watchman on the wall over the life of your God daughter, that you would be that man, that you are the man. You are the man.
Yes.
That can speak into our life, that you can bring order to the chaos.
Yes.
Father, we say thank you right now. You're going to use this brother, oh God, to shape a generation, to change a bloodline. This is the day of breakthrough. This is the day of repentance. This is the day of reconciliation. So, Father, I pray his strength today. Whatever you put in him, God, bring it to the surface. Let him be able to reach out. Let him be able to minister. Give him the words and the wisdom. Speak into the life of his God daughter and all those that are connected to him, that we'll see you do a mighty work, oh God. Because it's not us, God. It's not him. But it's you using him to speak into a life, to change a life. So we thank you right now. I pray encouragement. I pray strength, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would just keep him safe. That no attack, no retribution of the enemy will affect him, oh God. But that he will continue to press in. So, Lord God, we say thank you. We love you. We know that you can, and we know that you will. And we'll give you praise and honor for it right now. Right now, we don't give you the praise and the honor for the breakthrough and the change. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Brother Alexander, Coleman, we do thank you so very much. Tuning in to us today. Trust me, it was no accident, hallelujah, that you called this line today. But truly, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter and we allow God to have his way. So we do thank you. And we touch and agree with Deacon and I and the rest of the faith on this line that God will have his way in both you and your goddaughter's life. So
and I believe God will do it soon. It's going to happen soon. I believe.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. All righty, folks. All righty. Well, listen, here we are. We're talking about mercy. Talking about mercy. And like I said, Deacon Thomas Barr, he mentioned how God will stop Jesus, stop along the way doing whatever he was doing, and he took care of the needs of the people. One of my most favorite lines that Jesus said, one of my most favorite lines is when the woman was at the well and when Jesus was with his disciples and he was making that traveling that he had to do. And he said, I must need go, you know, through Samaria. I have to go that way. And they weren't welcomed in that area, okay? They weren't welcomed there. And the disciples were like, no, Jesus, come on, let's take this route. And he said, no, I must need go that way. He knew the woman would be at the well. He knew, and he had to go and touch that woman. He had to, and when I say touch, you know, to touch in her heart, well, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. I perceive, and then, you know, when she came to the realization of who he was, she runs back in the town and said, y'all, come see the man that knew all about me. He knew all about me, and yet he still stopped and he talked to me. He still took time out for me. Come see. You know, to me, she was one of our first evangelists. We'll never know her name, but she evangelized that day. She went in the town telling everybody, come on. But when she said, I must need go that way, thanks to God, there are going to be times when you have an agenda, where you have a place where you are supposed to be, you're scheduled to be, but Holy Spirit is telling you, you must need go such and such a place. There's something I have for you to do over there. You must need go. And we need to be attentive to what it is Holy Spirit is telling us to do. We must need go. We must pay attention. Beloved, I'm telling you, I thank God for who he is, and he makes no mistakes in what he's doing. Every gift that we have, every single spiritual gift that we have the positive side of it, and then we have the side where they have personal challenges. And mercy is something that we are to be extending to each and every person. Remember that the woman or man that has the gift of mercy, they're extremely sympathetic, they're full of empathy, they work hard to see to it that people that are in the position where other people aren't comfortable with them, they work hard to see to it that that person knows that somebody cares for them. Somebody cares. But however, we must learn to be balanced. We have to come to a place sometimes where we have to say no. And it hurts. It hurts. But sometimes we have to say no. And let me give you a very quick example of that. I know a woman that this is her primary gift. God bless her. She would give you truly the shirt of her own back. She would give you every cent that she has. There's nothing that she would not do for you. Now, because of that, people have taken advantage of that, and they're constantly, you know, borrowing from her, calling on her to do things and so forth and so on. But this thing went to the extent that she lost her apartment, was evicted from the apartment. Her car was repossessed. Amen. And things of this nature. Why? Was because when people called her, she gave everything that she had, and these were people that were taking advantage of it. And of course, you know, I know the personal details of it, so I know, you know, that these were people that were taking advantage of her gift. And she gave to the point where she had nothing. Now, I know there's a time that we're supposed to give our all, but God did not mean for this woman to become homeless and this woman to lose her car. And now she's out on the bus stop, you know, to get to work and so forth and so on. I don't believe that was God's intention. I believe that she was supposed to help the people that she was supposed to help. But you help them to an extent. They never grew. They never grew. They never took accountability. That did not help them. That did not help them. And let's look at our own lives. Holy Spirit helps us. He leads and guides us. But by the same token, we have to mature in him. We have to learn how to do the things that we're supposed to do. And he's not just going to sit back and just let us continue to just keep messing up. And we never have to be accountable. We never have to be accountable. God is looking for us to come to him just as we are, but also a change is expected. That is
Amen.
Where repentance comes in. That is where repentance comes in. What is it? God loves you enough to accept you the way you are, but loves you more so that you don't stay the way that you are. Praise be unto God. Bishop Paul, what do you say to that?
You know, you're absolutely right. In that gift of mercy, you know, it's a balance. It's wisdom. It's discernment. You know, you have that gift, but you also have to understand that you have to have boundaries because, like you said, God did not mean for you to go to a place like you. For the example you gave, that you would give all to folk, because if you're not really holding them accountable in the balance, you give. You know, it's just like on the street. You know, if you're helping out someone homeless and begging, you're not going to stop and give them your whole rent check. You're not going to give them, you know, you're going to give out of your compassion and your mercy, it's going to be a balance, because you can't fall to the place where you can't help someone else. Because you got to remember, this is a God thing. God is sovereign, and he's going to move upon our hearts to help and encourage others. And that piece you said about accountability, you know, for people who are giving folk and it seems like, you know, you're helping, the accountability piece could come kicks in. Because, you know, you set a boundary, you know, I'll help, but then after a while I'm going to see what you're doing, what's going on with you. And that's really, you can judge a person, their real struggle. Because if you ask them a question, you know, and how they respond, then you can see if they're taking advantage of you, they're taking you for granted, or their struggle is not what it seems to be. Because even, you know, we have to have wisdom. Because we're not God. God, Jesus Christ, he'll touch a person and heal them. And he talked about it with healing the woman with the issue of blood, the virtue. You know, we can't let people take all of our virtue out of us to the point where we're at a detriment now. Because we also have a ministry far beyond them. You know what I mean? And so, because that is where you have folk, like you said, they go through some stuff, and then I'm not helping nobody else again, and now they're out of the will of God. They're not using their gift because they were hurt or deceived or whatever by one person. Now they're moved away, and that's Satan moving them out of their gift, because we don't know what down the months, years, and days they could have changed someone's life. So Satan puts that one person to break them and move away from their gift, and now they're not doing it. You understand what I'm saying? Because you never know who we're going to touch and change through our gift, but if Satan can stop us to hold our gift inside, we're not doing it no more, I'm not just that person, used me, I gave them, and they never did, all those things that come to our heart, and now we step out of it, and now we're not in place. We step out of place. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I see. So we have to have discernment, wisdom, pray for folk, and hold folk accountable. You know, I mean, a stranger, that's one thing, but folks that we know that are going through a distressful time in life, but as you grow, because that's where relationships build. Because if it's someone I'm constantly in contact with now, I need to compel them to Christ and bring them to Christ and bring them to the wisdom of the Word of God mm-hmm. to change their circumstance. I can't be, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Apostle? We have to start to now, well, you have to activate the Word, because it's because of the Word of God that I'm here for you. But now I can bring the Word of God and Jesus into your life where He can help you and you can make better decisions so you can grow, because He has a purpose for you also. Down the road where you would have mercy because you were in this place. Now down the road you can remember that whoever helps you, and now I'm here, and then now you could be the next person to help someone else and see Christ and change their life mm-hmm. in their circumstance. What do you say, Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Awesome, awesome word. Listen, y'all, for those of you that felt uncomfortable about the fact that we're saying, you know, that you don't give everything and put yourself in a destitute place, listen, when you're on an airplane and they explain to you what it is, the airplane and or a ship, and they explain to you the safety rules and what to do in case of an emergency, when that air mask drops down, they tell you put yours on first and then help somebody else. When you're on a ship, put your safety vest on first and then help somebody else. Beloved, you are no good to anybody if you are not in good position, you are not safe, you are not sound, you can't help anybody else. So be sure that you are taking care of you so that you can be the best you can be to somebody else. And trust me, you hurt people when you are the solver of all of their problems. You are the one that sees to it that everything is met. They have no need to go to God because they will look to you to solve everything, their financial problems, their emotional things, everything, and you have not turned them over and have them turning to God and coming to Him. Yes, we are to do for people, but our goal is to lead them into relationship with Christ, and that they then were able to go out equipped to help someone else. You spend all your time with that one person or that one group of people and not get any further than that, and they won't help anybody because they'll be telling everyone, look, go over there and see Deacon Tall Man. He'll see to it that all your problems are taken care of. You got nothing to worry about. Man, don't have to go to that agency, Deacon Tall. You know, you just tell him what it is you need, and he's going to find a way of getting it for you. You don't have to worry about anything. So you don't have to do anything because Deacon Tall is going to take it all. So Deacon Tall becomes the God in your life. Amen.
Oh, my goodness, really? You got me scared now. I'm scared. Amen, amen. But yesterday, oh, Lord. Okay. You got to make sure, Apostle, people might have came in at the end of the show and then I get phone calls. Amen. Glory to God.
Bless God. Well, look, this has been awesome. It's been awesome being with you during this time, dealing with the mercy showers, those that are filled with compassion, knowing that all of us have the opportunity to show mercy to someone. And we thank Jesus for the mercy that was shown to us, the mercy seat. We praise God for what He has done for us. So let us, as we go forth on this day, as we go forth, be a blessing to somebody. Always be a blessing to someone. And when we do so, let's do it on purpose, but let's do it in balance and in love and according to the Word of God. Beloved, I want to thank Deacon Thomas Farr for co-hosting with me today. God bless you, man of God. I love you. Praise God. I love all of you that are on the line today. Brother Coleman, be blessed, and may your goddaughter, Sister Alexander, you know, call us back someday and give us a praise report. We look forward to hearing from you. Beloved, this is Apostle Etta Banks signing off for today. This is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you. We'll see you on next Saturday.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around.
Amen, amen. You know, this is just Christian Talk, and this has been Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you, Apostle Etta Banks, for joining us as we're heart to heart. And it's just Christian Men's Talk. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this program at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. And also, you can go to Issues Men's Talk and on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. God bless you. Join us again on Monday at 8 p.m., Thursdays at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. God bless you and have a wonderful day.